Good morning, I'm Glenn Leverins with Relevant Radio News, sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Information at AveMariaFunds.com. Hurricane Fiona, now a major Category 3 storm as it approaches the Turks and Caicos Islands with 115-mile-an-hour winds. This after the system left behind catastrophic flooding and widespread power outages in Puerto Rico. At least two people
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Si, senor. Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, September 20th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. It's great to be with you on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is the memorial of Saints Andrew Kim, Taijan, Paul Chung Ha, and their 103 Korean companions. Saint Andrew Kim was the first native Korean priest who was tortured and beheaded among his lay associates who gave their lives for the faith. Now, in case you haven't heard in recent days, we've been talking about it since last week, I want to remind you about a new fun and educational book here at Relevant Radio. Whether you're a Catholic curious or a curious Catholic, learn something new about the Catholic faith guided by our very own Patrick Madrid in his brand new book, Inquisition, with the accent on the quiz part. Expanding your understanding from the very beginning tenets of our faith to tidbits that had even our experts learning something new. Sign up for your free copy of Inquisition today at relevantradio.com/quiz. There's no shipping or handling charges. It is absolutely 100% free. This is a limited time offer. Get Patrick Madrid's brand new book, Inquisition. You can sign up this morning at relevantradio.com/quiz if you haven't done so already. And Patrick will be with us live coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that are making headlines on this Tuesday morning?
You know, John, big story is a big storm. Hurricane Fiona, now Category 3. The wind's 115 miles an hour, headed for the Turks and Caicos. It swung by and hit part of the Dominican Republic on Monday. Sunday, hitting Puerto Rico very hard. It's been hit not that long ago by some bad hurricane action as well. All the power on the island was knocked out on Sunday night. Gradually, some of that coming back. My wife, talking to a friend who lives there, said they were flooded out and power out throughout the country, but everybody in that family was okay. A couple lives were lost there in Puerto Rico, but a very serious storm. Not expected to hit the U.S. mainland, though. There'll be some higher tides, higher waves, and some rip currents as well along the eastern seaboard, though, as this turns to the north eventually, John.
Saw some images yesterday from Puerto Rico, a tremendous amount of flooding. About 100,000 people had their power restored, but yet there's still millions that have no power. It's just a terrible situation on that island, and obviously we keep everyone on the island of Puerto Rico in our prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They've been hit hard time and time again.
Meanwhile, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is in the news again this morning.
Yeah, we've had governors, including in Texas, busing immigrants who've come across the border without documentation to Chicago, to New York City, to Washington, D.C., and other liberal cities, including Martha's Vineyard. They had a couple plane loads of folks sent up there out of Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida dismissing accusations that he did it as a political stunt. He said the migrants went voluntarily. They did sign waivers from what I've heard and read. But an investigation's been opened in Texas. Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar alleges that the migrants were lured there, flown to Florida, and ultimately left to fend for themselves in Martha's Vineyard. DeSantis chartered a couple planes to transport the migrants last week, again, part of efforts to make some of the northern states aware of what's going on at the southern border.
No question, this has gotten the attention of those northern states. It's gotten the attention of the mainstream media as well. I think when you put it in perspective, we're talking about a few hundred people compared to the sometimes as many as 2,000 migrants that are pouring into Arizona and Texas every single day along that border in those border towns. So, you know, the people up north really don't understand what the people in the southern border are dealing with every single day. Something has to be done. This really is a humanitarian crisis.
Oh, it really is, you know, but we need to make sure that we're not using these folks just as political pawns to make their lives even worse by, you know, if something is a political stunt, even if they are illegally in the U.S., but to make their situation worse. So we got to make sure that, you know, that's handled in a Christian way, John.
Okay, our colleague, the one and only Patrick Madrid, will be joining us in a little while at the bottom of the hour here on Morning Air to talk about his new book, Inquisition. All right, Glenn and Sarah, who coined the phrase, "There but for the grace of God, go I"?
Oh, I've heard of that.
Oh, my goodness. Is this a religious figure? Is this a saint? Who is this? Do you have give us a
baseball
hint?
Player, perhaps. Yogi Berra?
One of the greats.
I tell you what, you know, my wife and I were goofing around last night playing a few of the questions, going through some of the chapters in the book. Some of them are really tough. So it's going to be fun. Stay tuned, and Patrick will tell us all about his book. And I think we're going to play a few questions, Sarah. We're going to have a little fun with it.
Yeah, I have a list of questions here that I'm going to be throwing out to you guys to see if you guys can answer any of them. I'm just happy I know the answer, so all I don't have to...
Just go easy. I mean, remember, I'm a former sports reporter.
Yeah, those are not the facts that you have lined up in your head. I got it.
Some of them are easy, but some of them are really tough. So stay tuned. Patrick Madrid coming up at the bottom of the hour. And as always, thanks, Sarah and Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We always begin every program in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 1 Corinthians 15:14. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." The Apostle St. Paul reminds us that our Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and has promised to also resurrect all those who believe and live for him. This is the greatest revelation of our Catholic faith. If Jesus is risen, then he is God. If he is God, then all of his revelations and promises of him must be true. Although we still carry our crosses every day and participate in the sufferings of Christ, we live the love, the joy, the freedom of the life of the risen Christ, and we hope to live the perfection of that life face to face one day with Jesus in heaven. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, and you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Now I want to switch gears and talk about judging, and specifically judging others. Scripture has a lot to say about judging. In fact, in Matthew 7, our blessed Lord Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Asked the apostle James in James 4:12. Indeed, who do we think we are? So quick to always notice someone's faults and overemphasize them. How many of our inner thoughts, our inner monologues, you could say, are in fact, in reality, judgments. Joining us live for much more perspective this morning is Kendra Von Esch, regular contributor to Morning Air, to talk about how to stop judging others and letting go of others judging us. Kendra is a speaker, faith coach, podcaster who is passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey. Kendra is also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again. Another fascinating topic.
You bet. And one that we all need, right? Oh, by the way, I will not judge Sarah or Glenn for not answering that question. Just so you know, because I didn't know
good.
It either. I was waiting. I thought you were going to you were going to give us the answer.
No, it's called a tease in radio. you have to stay tuned.
Note to self.
We want to keep
on.
The folks hanging.
I will stay on.
Till Patrick joins us live here in a little bit. So, yeah, this will be a lot of fun. You ever play Catholic trivia?
I have not specific Catholic trivia, but trivia in general, for sure.
Okay, well, this will be a lot of fun. Yes, I have my very own autographed copy of Patrick Madrid's new book, Inquisition, with the accent on the quiz. So this should be fun. I wonder if there's any questions about judging others in his book.
Ah, could be. I actually ordered the book, too. I'm super excited to get it so that I can stump some of my own spiritual companions with some of those questions, and hopefully I'll know some of them myself. Nice job, Patrick.
Absolutely. Well, Kendra, we all know that God is the ultimate judge. Can you tell us about your own experiences judging and how the Lord has brought you to quite a different place these days?
Yeah, so most of my life I lived the worldly life. God literally pulled me out of the pits of hell at 42 years old. So I wasn't going to any Christmas or Easter church services, not even anything for Christmas or Easter. For 20 years, I didn't need God. So I want people to know that I was super judgmental and looked at people within seconds. I would have you boxed and categorized and put on a shelf. That's how quickly I judged people. And I really do think it's a cultural thing. I think we learn this. If our parents were in our lives and helping us to be little Christs out there, maybe we wouldn't learn this from the culture. We'd be that counterculture personality and character in people's lives. But nope, not me. I was the one that would judge everybody. And then I would like to hang around with people that looked like me and talked like me and liked what I liked. And I found that to be just fine, right? Birds of a feather flock together. Until God came, pulled me out of the pits of hell, and I started listening to his word. And he started challenging my judgment, my judgmental ways, my judgment not only of others, but also of myself. And at the same time, I was going through my own insecurities about other people judging me. So I want to flip it. Instead of us looking at how we judge others, we hate to be judged by others ourselves. So as we sit here and we try to pray for detachment from the world and what other people think of us and, oh, will they like me? Those types of insecure vanity types of sin feelings. We can then say, okay, wait, this is a double-edged sword, this judgment thing. I don't want other people to judge me, and so I shouldn't judge them. It's kind of a new way to look at it. What do you think about that?
It's an interesting perspective, and I'm sure you came to this reality after spending time in prayer, spending time in God's Word. Once you start reading Scripture and reading the myriad, I mean, there's not just a few. There's a ton of Scripture, beginning with our Lord Jesus. I quoted one of the most famous ones there in Matthew 7 about judging others. Once you start reading this stuff and taking it to heart, it is pretty hard to continue the way you were before.
Right. And we need God's grace. There's no question that we don't have the capability to love people like Jesus loves us. We're very selfish. We're kind of, you know, really in our own world. And we also have that desire to bring people to the truth, to bring them to a better life, to bring them to Jesus. So it's not always a judgmental type of thought where we're criticizing them. We might be judging them for the way that they live because we love them and we want them to live the way that God tells us so that they'll be in heaven for eternity. We're looking at their souls, so it's a little bit different. But another aspect of judgment that I thought for me in the early time was because I didn't want anyone to be judging me. As I decided to leave my executive career in corporate America to share Jesus and the Catholic sacramental graces of the church, I was scared to death. And I didn't want people to judge me. I didn't especially want the Catholic people to look at me and think, oh my gosh, what a sinful heathen you are. You know, I mean, it was so horrible when I started speaking about what God was doing in my life and how he was changing things. I was more concerned about what people were thinking of me. So that was where it was a prayer of, Lord, please help me detach from the world so that I could just live for the audience of one.
I love it. I love that you said that. I love that you, the audience of what, it's so funny, we're on the same wavelength. I was thinking the exact same thing. I was just kind of reminiscing about my good friend Mike Sweeney, Kansas City Royals, former all-star third baseman, who used to say that when he played baseball, he played for an audience of one. He could care less if everybody was booing in the stands. He was playing for Jesus.
Amen. And it's a grace to do that. I mean, it took me years to finally detach and to really bring my heart to the world so that they could relate to me and I wasn't being this holier-than-thou person. I'm just sharing what God's doing in my life. You know, it has nothing to do with me. So I don't know. Just keep praying to God. Anyone that's out there who has that difficulty of judging others, and remember that it's not ours to judge, it's ours to love. And the more that we can love them where they're at and accept them the way they are, they're going to come to us, and hence Jesus through our heart. That's really kind of the bottom line.
How can we tap into God's grace and truly love others, see other people through the eyes of Jesus, something that Mother Teresa did throughout her whole life?
All right. People may not want to hear this, so brace yourselves, but it boils down to the two greatest commandments. The first is loving our one and only God. That means worshiping him with all our hearts. That means getting a prayer life established in your routine, talking to God all day, every day. Because without that first greatest commandment, the second greatest, which we all know, is to love ourselves and love our neighbors. We just can't do it. It's impossible to love if we don't have that deep relationship with God. If we don't love God, if we don't have that beautiful fear of the Lord where we don't want to displease God by the way in which we live and we think, we just need to continually ask the Lord to change our heart. Because we cannot do what he wants us to do without him. That includes everything. Not sinning, you know, all of the vices that we have out there, all of the temptations, including judgment. We have to have God in our life in a big way, a big prayerful way. And if you don't know how to pray, by gosh, please, please go find a program anything that will help you, because it is the single most important relationship in your life, and one that you will never feel lonely if you have him with you on the journey.
Kendra, what about putting our faith into practice? How much does it help to spend time with people that are different than us, that are not similar to us, to help us to put into practice not judging others?
You know, it's one of those things. It's funny that you say that, John. I really do believe the Holy Spirit's in this conversation with us right now. I've been finding God tugging on my heart to go and participate in a soup kitchen where I can experience people in a different walk of life and have my heart touched. It's just as much for me as it is for me to be loving them. So for us, it could be going to a church event or going to another event and just being that joy, that love, that peace, so that people can look at you differently and start asking questions like, what is up with that person and why are they always so happy and always so calm and collected? You know those people, we've seen them and we want to be like them. And so that's really what we're called to do, is to be that witness of peace and calm. And yeah, take that step out, go out of your comfort zone and go meet a whole bunch of new people and bring God's love just by the way that you respect and communicate with them.
Okay, if somebody realizes, oh, I have judged, I've judged their heart, even though I'm not supposed to judge their heart, only God can judge someone's heart. But we realize that we're actually being judgmental. What can we do? What suggestions do you have for us?
All right, a couple steps. Number one, stop immediately when you figure it out, because half the time we don't even realize we're being judging. So let's thank God for the actual gift of seeing the judgment happening. Call it out, number one, stop. Then look at God, say, Lord, say this out loud so that people around you know that you're working on yourself, so that they know that you are humble and you're calling out to the Lord. Say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to judge that person. It's not mine to judge, it's yours. Please help me and give me the grace to not do that again. So you're evangelizing with the people around you, but you're also calling yourself out. You're being humble, and people are seeing that in you. They're seeing that you're not perfect and that you need God to change. And that's pretty much it. And then get to confession, by the way. Don't forget, go to confession, especially if it was something big. And if you tied gossip around that nice little package with the bow, make sure you get to confession and reconcile yourself with God.
You can never go wrong with going to confession. And don't forget to also pray for that person that we may be judging incorrectly. Kendra, as always, we're going to have to leave it right there. Patrick Madrid is standing by, warming up in the bullpen as we speak. Thanks so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. I think this is a very important topic for anybody who follows our Lord, the importance of not judging others. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day. God bless.
God bless you, too. Kendra Von Esch, faith coach, speaker, podcaster, author, and, of course, a regular contributor to Morning Air. We need to take a short time out. If you love Catholic trivia, stay tuned. Relevant Radio's very own Patrick Madrid is going to join us to discuss his new book, Inquisition, coming up here momentarily. So stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and producer Sarah Tafoya. It's great to be with you on this Tuesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Jot it down, 888-914-9149. Now, if you love Catholic trivia, you have come to the right place this morning. Yes, welcome to school. It's time for a pop quiz. I hope you've been paying attention, listening to our programming over the most recent years. Some of you have been listening for a long, long time, or maybe perhaps you just found us real recently, like as recent as last week. That's okay. I got some questions for you here this morning. Let me just run a couple by you. Who was the first pope to fly in an airplane? That's a good one. Who was the first American citizen to be canonized as saint? Well, this morning, we're going to have a little quiz about all things Catholic. It's history, beliefs, customs, notable people, and biblical themes. Joining us live this morning, the one and only host of the Patrick Madrid Show, Patrick himself. Patrick is the author of a new book here at Relevant Radio called Inquisition, with the accent on the quiz part, as well as 24 other outstanding Catholic books, including some of my favorites, Where Is That in the Bible? Why Is That in Tradition? As well as the original Surprised by Truth series. In fact, I have my very own copy of Inquisition here in studio with me. Good morning, Patrick. Muy buenos dias. Great to be with you here early on Morning Air with all our early bird audience. Happy Taco Tuesday.
Muy buenos dias, John. Good to be on the program with you. Thank you for inviting me. It's exciting to see this new book coming out, and people are getting excited about it. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about it just a little bit.
It is exciting, and thank you for your John Hancock on the book. I have my very own autographed copy of the book. In fact, I pulled it out last night, and my wife and I were having a little fun around the kitchen table. You know, she's got a master's degree in theology from a Protestant seminary before she came back to the Catholic faith, of course. And I'll tell you what, she struggled with the first couple of chapters. You know, with about three or four wrong answers in each chapter, but then she got much better as we went along. So it was fun. This is really a fun book. Patrick, tell us, where did the inspiration for Inquisition come from?
Well, it goes way back. Back in the mid-90s, I started a magazine. I started something called the Envoy Institute. That's what it's called now. And the main function of it was this magazine called Envoy, and we never broke out, but I think we got up to maybe about 15,000 circulation at our peak. And one of the departments, it was a one-page department in the back of the magazine that I edited, called Inquisition, and we would come up with this quiz each issue. It was one quiz that had 20 questions, and each question was multiple choice. So that was the genesis of the idea, and that was very popular back in those days. I published the magazine for about 15 years. And so that was always rolling around in my mind. What if we did a quiz book where we had new and different and updated quizzes with humor that's more, you know, current kind of thing? And so that's where the idea came from. And little by little, it came together, and here it is.
So it's been brewing for quite some time. I'm dating myself. I remember Envoy magazine, and I remember the radio show you used to do in conjunction with it.
Yeah, gosh, that is going back quite a ways. It's that show is called Right Here, Right Now, and I produced that show, or I had some title on it. I don't remember now what my title was, but it was like a radio magazine. So in a way, it was intended to be like the show itself, where it would move from one department to another. And it was a lot of fun. But those, like you say, those are the olden days, that's for sure.
So I imagine it took you a while to compile all of these many questions. How many questions are in the book? There's quite a few.
Quite a few, yeah, there's quite a few. So there's, I can tell you right now, let me just look at it. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16 quizzes. And each quiz has approximately 12 answers. And each answer has 5 multiple choice possible correct answers. Now, there's typically only one correct answer. And in a few places, there's no correct answer. But I won't tell you which ones those are.
And some of the questions are for beginners, and some of them are even tough for advanced so-called experts in our Catholic faith.
Well, yes and no. It's interesting because, like you just said, your wife, who's very learned and she has a master's degree, even she, you know, there's some things that she didn't get. And the way I wrote the book, the intention was that there would be something there for everybody. So maybe somebody who really doesn't know much of anything, perhaps a teenager or child doesn't know much of anything about Catholic history or Catholic saints, will find something there, and they won't get everything wrong. There will be some people who are very knowledgeable who won't get everything right, and they'll find out, oh, I never knew that. Or, you know, I thought it was something else, and now I stand corrected. Now I see that what I thought it was isn't actually what it was.
Now, Patrick, you have quite a following on your show here on Relevant Radio. How are the folks receiving your new book, Inquisition?
Oh, I'm so heartened, John, because the reaction has been really enthusiastic, thankfully so. And the best thing of all is because the book is free. I think that adds to the enthusiasm, where you don't have to pay anything. And this is one wonderful thing about Relevant Radio, is that we don't charge for things like this. It's zero. And so you don't pay shipping, you don't pay handling, you don't pay for the book. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com/quiz and just simply say, here's my name and here's where I'd like you to send the book to me. And presto, you're going to get the book for free. So I think that's a lot to do with it. And once people get it, like I have a few advanced copies that I was able to get. And like for you, handing you an advance copy was a lot of fun, because immediately people start going into it and say, I wonder what's in here. And they kind of get caught up in it. And it's fun. And, you know, you can't beat that, right?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, what are you trying to accomplish? What's the main goal of your new book?
Well, I actually state that verbatim in the introduction to the book itself. And so this is how I explain it. The value of this book is that it will not just inform you of a wide variety of facts about all things Catholic, it will also reinforce things you already know and fill in the blanks in areas in which you might not be so well informed. And best of all, it's fun. So whether you consider yourself a beginner or an intermediate in your knowledge, or even advanced, there's plenty here for you to learn and benefit from. So to grow people's storehouse of knowledge about things that really matter.
It really is a lot of fun. And we were having a blast last night just going through it and, playing along there on the kitchen table. So I want to bring in our listeners. If you have a question or comment for Patrick Madrid about his new book, maybe you have a question that you've been wanting to run past Patrick for quite some time. This is the time to do it this morning. The book is Inquisition, and we are taking your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our chat with our very own Patrick Madrid. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
Wake me up before you go, go.
Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation with our very own Patrick Madrid, the host of the Patrick Madrid Show. We're talking about his brand new book, Inquisition. And just real briefly before we go back to Patrick, in case you haven't heard about this book, whether you're Catholic curious or a curious Catholic, learn something new about the Catholic faith, guided by our very own Patrick Madrid in his brand new book, Inquisition, with the accent on the quiz. Expand your understanding from the very beginning tenets of our faith to tidbits that had even our experts learning something brand new. Sign up for free this morning for your copy of Inquisition. You can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/quiz. There's no shipping, no handling charges. It is 100% absolutely, totally free. But keep this in mind, there's a limited time offer to get Patrick's brand new book, Inquisition. You can do it this morning, relevantradio.com/quiz. And now we're joined once again by Patrick Madrid. Patrick, we want to have a little fun here in these final moments. Sarah and Glenn are with us, and we're going to take on a few questions out of your book. Have a little fun here.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hey, Sarah. Hey, John.
How are you? This will be good.
It will. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Glenn.
Go easy on me, Sarah.
Well, you know what? I was thinking, I was going to ask some of the questions, but you know what? I thought it would be better if Patrick asked some of the questions because I know he knows all the answers. So let's have him ask the questions and see if we can answer it. Team Morning Air here, okay? All hands in, guys. Here all we right. go.
All right.
Three-on-one fast here break go. Here. There we go.
Okay, this one, I have a feeling you'll get this one, but here goes. How is the date for Easter determined each year? A, it's the day of the Jewish Passover. B, it is the Sunday before Mother's Day. C, it is the Sunday after the first full moon following the vernal equinox. D, it is whatever date the Pope chooses in any given year. And E, it is the first Sunday after the first green buds emerge on the trees.
Ooh, 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 ooh. I know. I would say the Jewish moon.
The Jewish moon. That wasn't an answer, but did you mean it is the first Sunday after the first full moon following the vernal equinox?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be correct.
Oh. I knew it wasn't the flowers. I did know that.
Right.
I was jumping ahead
of myself.
The Jewish
moon. I'm looking through here saying, where is the Jewish moon? I don't even see that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, good job, John.
All right. You're
one
Thank
for one.
You, Patrick.
Okay. Okay, here's another one. What worldview tends to embrace the notion of God as a watchmaker, a distanced creator who created the universe that runs itself? A, Gnosticism. B, Deism. C, Pantheism. D, Mechanicalism. Or E, Chronologicalism.
Wow.
I'll reread the question. What worldview tends to embrace the notion of God as a watchmaker, a distanced creator who created the universe that runs itself? Gnosticism, deism, pantheism, mechanicalism, or chronologicalism?
How about deism?
Yeah, I was going to think pantheism. I don't know.
Pantheism's wrong. Deism is correct.
Oh, there we go.
What do you know?
Nice.
Well, you've been playing this quiz game, John. Hey, I can tell.
Patrick, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while.
All
okay.
right.
You're going okay. easy on me.
Well, how about this one? This is the founder of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Is it A, St. Vincent de Paul, B, Pauline Géricault, C, Blessed Frederick Ozanam, D, St. Mother Cabrini, or E, St. Vincent Ferrer?
St. Vincent de Paul.
You are wrong, sir. Everybody gets that. No, it was Blessed Frederick Ozanam. Now, let me just share with you something.
That sounded like that was going to be a trick question. I just kept quiet. I was like, I'm going to get that wrong.
Yeah, everybody, and it's kind of like you just step right in it. You think it's going to be St. Vincent de Paul, but it's not. So here is the answer. Now, I should probably explain this part of the book. So you've got all the quizzes, and every quiz has all the questions, and all the questions have a bunch of possible answers. But the correct answer for each one is explained in detail. So it's documented, so you can see why is this the correct answer. So here's the explanation for the correct answer. C. I'll bet you guessed St. Vincent de Paul, didn't you?
It was actually
Blessed Antoine Frederick Ozanam, born at Milan in April of 1813. He died in Marseille on September 8th, 1853. A brilliant apologist impressed by the benefits of the Christian religion, he desired that they should be made known to all who might read his works or hear his words. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul was established as an international association of Catholic laymen, engaging systematically in personal service of the poor. And it has a little bit more than that, but that gives you the foundation for why that's the right answer.
I love it. My batting average is going down. Let's continue on.
Yes. Okay. So you want another one? Now, John, should we let Glenn take a shot at this?
Absolutely. All right, Glenn.
He deserves some embarrassment. Go for it, Glenn.
Yeah, why not? Okay. And then we'll go to Sarah. Okay. So where did Jesus change Simon's name to Peter? A, the Mount of Olives. B, Caesarea Philippi. C, Caesarea Maritima. D, Capernaum. Or E, Jericho.
Ooh, I kind of want to play my convert card and say, oh, you guys should know you're all cradle Catholics, but how about B?
B is Caesarea Philippi, and that is correct.
All right.
You know your Bible.
I was just going to say in the Bible.
Matthew 16.
All right, so here's a toughie. Sarah, you ready for a toughie?
Sure.
Okay. What is, and I have to slow it down because this is not easy to pronounce. What is Mahershalal Hashbaz? Is it A, gibberish, B, an untranslatable exclamation the Israelites grumbled against Moses while wandering through the desert. C, the longest name in the Bible. D, the name of the witch of Endor, whom King Saul asked to conjure the spirit of the prophet Samuel. Or E, a word you definitely do not want to mispronounce when ordering food at a Middle Eastern restaurant.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought it was going to be gazootite.
I'll say the word again. Maher Shalal Hashbaz.
I'm going to go with C.
You're going to go with C. The longest name in the Bible. You are good, and this is correct. Yeah,
good job, Sarah.
So you know, let me read the answer.
Truth to be told here, I forgot what all of the answers were, so I just picked the middle letter.
You
so
zeroed in on
I
that
guessed
one.
Really well.
Yes. So I'm going to read you from the answer key. This name was given to Isaiah's son in Isaiah 8:3, and I give the Hebrew. So Maher Shalal Hashbaz means hastening is the enemy to the booty, swift to the prey. Seriously, that's what this means. I'll bet Maher Shalal Hashbaz was the only kid with that name in his first grade class.
Well, Patrick, this has been a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Indeed. I understand how that goes.
We're going to have to leave it right there. But thanks so much for getting up a little extra early to be with us. I really appreciate it. And we're going to continue to get the word out on your new book, Inquisition.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Glenn. Great to be on with you guys.
Thanks, Patrick. And keep in mind, it's 100% free. All you got to do is go to relevantradio.com/quiz. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called How Much Music Can You Make by Steve Goodyear. Imagine this, a concert violinist is performing a difficult piece in front of a large audience. Suddenly, there's a loud snap that reverberates throughout the auditorium. The audience immediately knows a string is broken and fully expects the concert to be suspended until another string or instrument is brought to the musician. But instead, the violinist composes himself, closes his eyes, and then signals the conductor to begin again. The orchestra resumes where they'd left off, and now the musician plays the music on three strings. In his mind, he works out new fingering to compensate for the missing string, a work that few people can play well on four, the violinist can do now with three. When he finishes, an awesome silence hangs in the room. Then as one, the crowd rises to their feet and cheers wildly. The violinist smiles and wipes perspiration from his brow. When the silence returns to the great room, he explains why he continued to play in spite of a broken string. You know, he says, still breathless, sometimes it's the artist's task to find out how much music you can still make with what you have left. Now we know what he means, don't we? Maybe we've lived most of our lives and we have only a little time left. Can we still make music? Maybe disease has robbed us of our capacity to work. Can we still make music? Perhaps a financial loss has left us impoverished. Can we still make music? Maybe a meaningful relationship has ended and we feel alone in the world. Can we still make music? There come a time when we all experience loss. Like the violinist, will we find the courage to discover just how much music we can still make with what we have left? How much good we can still do? How much joy we can still share? For I'm convinced that the world more than ever needs the music that only you can make. If it takes extra courage to make the music, many will applaud your effort. For some people have lost more than others, and these brave souls inspire the rest of us to greater heights. Just how much music can you make with what you have left? Psalm 101. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our resident loveologist, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLove.com, will tell us about five signs why you might not know your lovability. Plus, Professor Harry Kramer will reflect on the lawyer saying, time is money. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on this edition of Morning Air. Next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.